So hope you guys can make it out for that. So in the last month, thinking about Christmas, I've listened to a lot of Christmas messages. Churches, big churches, really good pastors, speakers, Advent series. I've been listening to them every day through Advent. I've been listening to other churches and pastors' messages, beginning with Advent, from small to large. And it's kind of funny to hear them all speaking on the same things. I mean, there's so many, you know, only so many categories to Christmas. There's only so many events, right? I mean, so you've got the shepherds, and you've got the angels, and you've got Bethlehem, and the prophecy of Isaiah, and I mean, they're all on the same ones at different times in different ways, and if they're like, they're way ahead of me probably, but I've been speaking on Christmas for, you know, close to 20 years now. I went back, thought, when was the first time I did a Christmas message? And so it's like, okay, what's going on here? And so they're preaching on the same thing some of them have preached about for 30, 40, 50 years. I mean, it's the same thing, you know. Jesus was born in a manger, the virgin birth, the significance of that. You grew up hearing these messages. And so as I listened to this over and over, and I thought, man, they are working so hard to craft a message that grips the hearts of their people with a subject we have all heard countless times before. And it just seemed a little bit fruitless in a way to me. I thought, man, it's an amazing time of year, but I'm going to assume that you're here today and you already know Christ was born in a manger. He is virgin born, which means mama, but daddy was God. I'm going to assume you know that. I'm going to assume you have comprehended that in your mind, that Christ did not have a physical dad, so to speak. He did have a mom, and that he came to die for the sins of the world. He is the Savior of the world, the God-man, God with us. And that's what this holiday is about. That's what Wednesday is that we're remembering. Are we in agreement on that? Raise your hand if you know that. Okay. And you know there were angels in the field with the shepherds. You know that? Everybody know that? You don't know that. You know that. Okay. There were wise men, magi, that came from the east. You knew that. Okay, we know all that. So how do I get up here and speak a message that goes, whoa, I've never heard that before? I don't. It doesn't happen. So this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to approach it. I'm not going to leave you shorthanded. You're going to get the Christmas story. But here's what I'm going to do, because I think this is where, if there's anything that needs smoothed out a little bit, it's not in the story itself. The story is the story. It is what it is. The virgin born Son of God, Savior of the world. It is. Here's where it needs smoothed out a little bit. What we do with that. How we celebrate it. And where we go with it. Because what I hear from all kinds of people is, man, we should just shut down the malls. We should just shut down. No presents. Let's forget all that. It's a materialistic time in our country. Get rid of that. Let's just do this. Or it's just the opposite. And that's boring. So let's just do. So, I mean, it's how we present it. How we as Christians live it. How do we respond to Christmas? That seems to be where the discrepancy lies. We know how they handle it. We know how the world is approaching Christmas today, the unsaved world. We know where it's going. But where are we going, and how can we biblically respond to the Christmas message? That seems to be more of an issue, more of a diversity in amongst church people. So that's where I want to talk to you about this morning. What is it, and what can I do in response to this passage? So let me just, a few things. Christmas is, and maybe we can think this way about it. So number one, Christmas is a prophetic time. All right, number one, Christmas is a prophetic time. It's a time to wander in. Christmas is prophetic. Now, that part we can't miss, because if you take any time at all this Christmas season to open up Matthew chapter 1 or Luke beginning chapter 2 and on, you are going to see prophecy fulfilled. Matthew is just like boom, 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 boom. Is born in Bethlehem. The prophet said this in chapter 1, verse 22. The prophet said this in chapter 2. It goes on into chapter 3, and he talks about Rachel weeping for her children. It's just prophecy, 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 right? So this child was born and fulfilled a ton of prophecy, ancient prophecy. I'm talking about prophecy that goes back hundreds of years, if not some thousands. So Christmas, absolutely for us, is a prophetic time. There are multiple prophecies, and we knew they were written way, way, way back. We know that much, and they're all fulfilled in Christ. Every one of them kind of points to Christ. It's a very prophetic time. You can't miss Matthew. Most of you have picked up Matthew, and you kind of go right to verse 18. Do you know why in chapter 1 you open Matthew chapter 1 and you start at verse 18? Because verse 1 is a genealogy. And you're not about to read all those names that you can't pronounce. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It's a prophetic book, and it's genealogical, which means God has said, here are my footprints from Abraham to Jesus through David. Now, Luke did the same thing. Luke starts telling the story, but he waits a few chapters, long about chapter 4. Luke gives a genealogy. You and I skip right over that. That's prophetic. That's to say, look, I told you I was going to go from here to here. And this is how I did it. These are my footprints. Some of them are really kind of obscure. I mean, you've never heard of some of these people. But other ones are really miraculous. I mean, you think about Rahab the harlot there in Joshua. That was part of God's plan to keep the pattern going. It's part of his footprints. Oh, there's going to be a prostitute, and we're going to destroy this city, but I'm going to pull this prostitute out. It's a really cool thing. How about Ruth and Boaz? There's some really amazing prophetic footprints in here leading us to Jesus Christ. There's also some short-term prophecy. In Luke chapter 2, You'll come to a story of Simeon and Anna. And they were in the temple. Simeon was there waiting. He had been promised he would see the consolation of Israel. And when he seen him, he picked him up and he said, now I can go. I have seen what you've promised. So long-term, ancient prophecy, genealogies, these footprints that some go back to Adam. Luke chapter 2, short term, just in a lifetime of prophecy fulfilled. And practical prophecy, if you want to call it that, practical prophecy, did you ever realize that as this message happened, as this night played out, think about it. There are those shepherds in the field. The angels appear that night. Go down there to Bethlehem and look in the manger. You will find the Christ child. They go. 2 years later, approximately, Here come the wise men, right? From the east. That's the path of the gospel, isn't it? Isn't that foretelling the path of the gospel? First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Right away to the Jew. Boom, the shepherds. Later, a couple years, Herod killed all the babies, up to 2 years. Later, the Gentiles. Here comes the Magi from the east. It's prophetic. It's showing us the path of the gospel. The Christmas story is a prophetic book. And what that means for you and I is promises kept. God keeps His promises. He can promise things ancient, way far away, and He will make them happen. Or He can promise them close. He will give us footprints, some amazing, some not. But here's the thought. God is faithful and capable to keep His promises. That's what the prophecy of this is about. He said, I will provide a lamb. And He's done it. He is faithful and capable of keeping every single promise He has ever made. So I'm asking us, maybe this Christmas season, take a little time and just kind of let your mind wander at the wonder of the prophecy of this season. There should be a bit of electricity in the air. There should be a little bit of, wow, this is really cool. If you take the time, if you spend just a morning with your coffee and the Bible open, and you look at the prophecy, and you go, my gosh, how could all of this come true in one person at one time? There should be a little magic in the air. Remember the first time when I was a little kid, when I was some of these guys' age, I went to my first magic show. You ever remember the first time you saw a magic show? Remember the first time somebody did a card trick? And you went, whoa, how'd you do that? I remember a guy knocked a card through the table, you know? It's an old, look, what? That should be Christmas for us. Magi mean magic. Magi produce magic. Now, there's nothing magic in the Christmas story, but that feeling, that electricity, to go, how did He do all of these prophetic things? I ask you a question. We got a lot of little babies, kids all over the place. Which one of you moms and dads can foretell, prophesy, one thing of where your child will be in 10 years. One thing of where your child will be in 10 years. We have Elizabeth with child. Can we tell? We know where your baby's going to be born. We know what color eyes it's going to have. We know where it's going to grow up. We can't. She said, I'm pretty confident that baby's going to be born here in Goshen. Maybe. Unless she gets called away, unless something happens and she has to leave, and for some reason that child is born in Elkhart. You don't know. There's not one thing you and I can bet the farm on in prophesying about an unborn child or about a child that's here. Matter of fact, some of us have worked our fannies off to create and shape our children into a certain direction with certain character traits to grow and to maybe have this job, and they've gone completely the other direction. Completely the other direction. But in this story, ancient prophecies, recent prophecies, and the footprints to get there have all been given to us in this book. It is an amazing book. It should draw a bit of wonder in us. The Christmas story is an amazingly prophetic, special story. Take some time with it. Number two. This is probably the most interesting one for me as I hear the discussion of how we approach Christmas. This one here is really, really amazing to me. I like this one. It's in Luke chapter 2. It is the Christmas story. And I will say this, the Christmas story, Christmas time, is in fact a praise time of celebration. Christmas is about praise and celebration. Luke chapter 2, listen as I read, beginning at verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, just picture this, the sky is full of angels praising God. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He is pleased." The Christmas story, the Christmas time is a time of great praise and celebration and singing and loudness. It is good news, great joy. Don't fear. Don't fear. Now, I don't want to rankle anybody's feathers. However, I'm going to make this statement here. Don't fear Jesus. Don't fear Jesus. Okay? Celebrate Him. Don't fear. That's what they said. So who were those shepherds that these angels appeared to, and they're on their face like, "Ah!" And they say, "Don't fear, there's a Savior born for all people, don't fear." Why are they saying that? Are these shepherds really Sunday school teachers that we don't know that about, and they're saying, "You're safe, you're fine, you've gone forward in church, you've accepted Christ, you're fine, get down there to that manger." Is that what has happened here? No. No, we don't need to fear Jesus. I'm assuming that since you're here today, you already know God so loved the world He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Those who believed in Jesus are not condemned, but those who have not believed are condemned already because they have not believed in Jesus. I'm assuming you already know we're all sinners, condemned to die outside of Jesus. And guess what? Jesus showed up on Christmas Day to save us. To save us. Don't run from Him. Don't run from the messengers. The angels showed up and it was scary. And they said, "Don't fear, we've come with a good news to save you." Quit it. We've come to save you. Don't fear the messenger. In this case, I'm a messenger. Preachers are messengers. Maybe some of you are messengers at times. Don't fear the messenger. Don't fear the message. God has worked overtime to bring the Savior to the manger to save us. We're already condemned. Don't fear Jesus. Don't fear Jesus. You never need to fear Jesus. He came to save us. Now look, no doubt, fear your sin that will take you away from Jesus. Fear your sin that will lie to you and say, you're okay, when you're not okay. But don't fear the Savior who died. Your sin will lie, but your Savior died. Don't fear Him. Go to Him. He moved into us so we would move into Him. Don't fear Jesus. This is a great time of great joy for the whole world. The whole world needs to know we need a Savior. Thank God He sent His Son. God loves us. God so loved the whole world, He sent His Son. So He could tell these shepherds, don't fear. Go and see the Savior. Luke chapter 2, verse 18 reads, all who heard it, and this is the shepherds, after the shepherds went, they worshiped, and they were going back to work, back through town. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. That's what I'm asking us. Just wonder in this. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Ponder these things in your heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Christmas is a celebration of praise to God for moving to save us. Don't fear Jesus. Run to Him. He's the Savior. Don't fear the messenger. I want to point you to Jesus, the Savior. Don't fear the message. The message is there. It's there to move you. The prophecy's there. Everything is pointing us. Move to Jesus. Praise God. Celebrate. Glorify God. The Savior is there in the manger. It's a great time. It's a great time. Fear only your sin. But don't fear Jesus. Thirdly and finally, Christmas is a holy time to take some time. Christmas is a holy time, so take some time. There's a part of Christmas in the celebration and the awe and the praise, and it's beautiful and it's fun. Have some fun. But Christmas is also a holy time. Not silly. Not frivolous. There's holiness in Christmas. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered Mary. She just asked him, I'm a virgin, how can I have a child? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. This is a holy occasion. It's prophetic. It's a tremendous celebration, not to fear. And it's a holy time. Did you see in that verse? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High, that's God, will overshadow you. And the child to be born will be called the Son of God. Can I tell you this? The entire Godhead, all of heaven moves on Christmas Day to save us. The entire Godhead of heaven moves into that manger, moves upon that couple, moves into earth because of God's love to save us. Everything. Angels are dispatched. Stars are set in place. Everything about heaven moves into earth to save us. It's a holy time. Heaven invades earth to save us. Philippians chapter 2 that we've studied a month or so ago says that Jesus, being in the form of God, took upon Him the form of a servant and made in the form of a human being. He humbled Himself He emptied himself and died on a cross for us. It's a holy time. That baby came to die. And that is not to be laughed at or trifled with. It's a holy time. That holy child of God that all of heaven was put into full gear to bring this child here to save us. That's a holy occasion to be celebrated. To be celebrated. This is a holy time. And we don't use that word much around church anymore. But I'm saying this is a very holy time. It's a holy time. So take some time. Take some time to think about it. So, in my busy schedule, if I'm in charge of saving the planet, I pull out my day timer and I look on my calendar. Well, let's do it this way. Jesus shows up on Thursday. No birth. We don't need that. No Old Testament, we don't need that. Jesus shows up on Thursday in time to have supper with his disciples. He is tried that night. He is put on the cross the next morning, 9 o'clock, 9 a.m., alert 2 hours before. 9 a.m., Jesus on the cross. 3 o'clock, Jesus dead, buried. Saturday in the grave, I hope he's busy doing something. Maybe he can descend into the lower parts and preach the gospel there before he comes up on Sunday and rises from the dead to be seen by the disciples and everybody else on Monday. Back to heaven on Tuesday, we have multitudes of angels to keep an eye on up here. And that's all you need to know to be saved. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Amen, Andy Stanley. But I'm saying Jesus came as a baby in a manger and spent 33 years of his life here with us to teach us something, to show us something. Jesus came and was born in poverty and grew up with mocking. He went to school. His own brothers mocked him and made fun of him. People then mocked him and made fun of him. He thought were friends turned against him. He lived the same stupid life that you and I live sometimes. And this is a holy occasion. This is a holy child. This is a holy birth. And I am saying he took some time to spend here with us to teach us so many things, to save us. Take a little time. Just take a little time. Spend with Jesus this holiday, this Christmas. Take a little time. Take a little unique time. I know every family here is unique. Every family here is different. I know that. I get that. Take a little time. Maybe it's you and your spouse. Maybe it's you and a child. Maybe it's just you and your coffee cup. Take a little time and just sit down somewhere. You can't hurry. The best way to miss life is to hurry. Hurry through it. You'll miss everything that happens. You'll get a lot done and you'll miss everything that happens. Jesus came as a child and spent at least 33 years here with us to save us. And he's holy. Take a little time. Just take a little time. Craft it however it can happen for you. And spend a little time pondering and wondering, treasuring, and praising the gloriousness of this birth, the prophetic awe of it. Celebrate it. Snatch up some people and celebrate it. Eat some junk food. Drink some coffee. Think about the holiness. The holiness. Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, think about these things. Think about it. Ponder it. Mull it over. Take some time. Chew on it. Whatever is honorable. The word honorable in the Greek is the word gravitas. It just looks just like gravity, but instead of a Y on the end, is an A-S, gravitas, gravitas. It means weighty. It could be, some people, it's noble. Well, that is really deep. That is really amazing. That is really special. This is positive weightiness, honor. Not frivolous, not silly, not childish. This is weighty. This is honorable, gravitas. Think about things that are gravitas. I'd say this birth is in the top 4 or 5 of gravitas, wouldn't you? God impregnates a virgin to save us. All of heaven dispatched on earth to save us. I'd say this is gravitas. Think about it. It's a holy time. Spend some time. Take some time. Cozy up next to a spouse or a child or just with God alone. Think about God with us, the Holy Child. So, prophetic, praiseworthy, holy. Here's the bow, the wrapping around this. Christmas is celebrating. Christmas is rejoicing. Christmas is praising. Christmas is giving gifts, all right? Jesus was the gift given to us. The wise men brought gifts. You want to give gifts? Give gifts. I do. It's celebrating. It's rejoicing. It's incredible praising the faithfulness of God. The holiness of God, the love of God to save us, and by all means, you don't need to fear Jesus. You don't need to fear this message. Fear yourself, fear your sin. It's going to tell you you're fine. I'm telling you you're not, but don't fear Jesus. He's here, He's come. Run to Him. This is the tricky part, that we are to rejoice with gratitude and gravitas. At the same time, we take in one arm praise and glory and honor and crazy fun and celebration, and it's gravitas, it's holy. It's amazing. It's God. And we bring them together. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. Make sure you have them both. Don't take out the celebration and the great joy and the praises. Do it like the angel said to do it. Don't take out that. But don't take out the holiness of the Christ child or a Godhead, full army of heaven in total gear, in movement to rescue us from our sin. Don't take out either one. Don't fear. Don't fear the one who came to save you. Run to Him. Run to Him. I want to close by us reading 4-5 verses together. And you're gonna look at this and you're going, I thought he just said don't. And I'm going to show you exactly what I mean, but I want to close our message this way. If you would, Mark has it, Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Let's read this passage together. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. I thought you just said don't fear him. This is the Christmas story. See, Mary was living in the Old Testament. Mary had spent her life keeping the law. There was no Savior yet. She knew the law said, the law points to my sin and your sin. And we need to fear that. But when the Savior comes, when she is told, the Savior is inside of you, she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. How amazing. My soul praises him. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. You'll never be saved by keeping the law. Your best life now is a lie to you. You fear your sin in your best life now. Jesus is the song of Christmas. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices. A Savior has come to rescue me. Don't fear the Savior. Don't fear Jesus. He has come to save us from our sins. That's what Christmas is about. And the unique task that you and I have is to combine the celebration and the gravitas, the holiness of it all, and do it in a way that may even shine the light of Christmas onto some others around us. That's the response from the biblical account of Christmas. I think we can do it. I think we can do it. Cut loose and have some fun. Praise God. Praise God all the way through it. He wants to save us. He loves us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your story. Lord, there's so much there. I pray. Fill our hearts with a hunger to read it. Fill us with the wonder of Christmas. Lord, I think of kids getting up around the Christmas tree, eyes wide open. Lord, adults, we can have that too. Lord, fill our hearts with the wonder of Christmas. May we treasure the gravitas of what you've done. Lord, we celebrate you. Yes, we do. Thank you. My soul rejoices in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Electric. Electricity of Christmas is in the air on that stage. Elizabeth and the angels singing is beautiful. When we go shopping, we should be the most happiest shoppers at Christmas. If you're buying presents and you're going to the mall, you know the reason for the season. You know the true gift of it all. They should see us and see the smilingest, happiest people on this earth. You give your kids your presents, you tell them about the present of Jesus that was given to us. Free of charge. It's beautiful. If you've lost that joy, if it's not quite that way, it's just too fast and furious, maybe you need to slow down and just take a little time to visit with Jesus. It's It's a holy time. Take a little time just to get the wonder back, just to get the true meaning back, back inside, the joy that your soul magnifies the Lord. You exalt Him. Your spirit rejoices in the Lord. Nobody can take that from you. Celebrate it. Have fun. Christmas is awesome. Christmas is awesome fun. But it's holy too. Jesus loves you. By all means, leave here with this one message. Do not fear Jesus. He's amazing. He's amazing. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, born on Christmas Day. Lord, bring us back tomorrow night one more time just to sing with the angels your praises, to rejoice in you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I saw that you only had two verses up here. I'm like, okay, I'll help them do that. Oh, yeah.